You know, this whole thing that began probably about a month ago, when this whole thing started to come in like a flood, you know, people were just doing business like usual, like in the days of Noah,
right?
They were still marrying, given to marriage. They're talking about buying this, buying that, going for this vacation. All of a sudden, like a flood of Noah, it just came like a flood. You know, it was just like all over the world, like what happened during the days of Noah, right? The flood flooded the whole earth. And so it happened again, but God promised it's not going to be water. It was just something that happened like a flood. But I really believe that as long as we stay in the ark like Noah, not a single member of the family of Noah died. But those who are outside the ark, yes, there are darkness. If Noah were to focus on the things outside, Noah cannot help but also to be afraid, because the whole earth were drowned at that time because of the flood. Because of the flood, and it was such a scary environment, because it was raining 40 days, 40 nights, non-stop. And imagine the cloud is like dark, like there's no sun. For 40 days and 40 nights, it was dark clouds, thunderstorming, you know, all the time. It was pretty scary. And very strange enough, when God told Noah to build the ark, He said, "Noah, I don't want you to build any side windows." Because God knows that Noah will be tempted to be looking through the side windows to the things around him, to the news, if you will, using today's terminology, to the things that's happening around us, right? God says, "Noah, there's only one window that I want you to build, and there's the one on top of the ark." God wants us to look up to Him. God does not want us to look at the bad stuff that's going on around us. That's why He told Noah, "I don't want you to build side windows in that ark, because I know your temptation with all the moving and shaking, even in the ark, right? It can be pretty scary. Is that, are we there yet? is this whole thing's gonna over yet? When is this gonna be over?" And then you see people drowning, you see people dying, and you can't help but to be hunkering down and be afraid and scared. That's why God says, "Noah, that ark that I want you to build, there's only one window, and that is the window on top. The only thing that I want you to look to is to Jesus Christ. Look up." Because that's the only window in the ark that God says I want you to build. I'm not saying we are not aware of things that's going on, but when there are news that the Holy Spirit wants us to know, the Holy Spirit will let us know.
Especially
amen? Especially good news. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good all the time. Well, you know, first, to my audience in the cloud, you know, in the book of Hebrews, it says, "With so many cloud of witnesses, let us run the race with patience," the Bible says. So, you know, for people, you know, who may not be able to come to church right now, gather your loved ones, gather your children in the couch, in the living room, and have a church right there in your house without having to leave the house. You can have church, only 2-3 people gathered together in my name. God says, "I'll be in the midst." And I believe there's a corporate anointing whenever we come together. So I encourage people who are listening to my message right now to make sure you have your bread and your grape juice with you. You with your spouse, or you with your grandchildren, or you with your children, or with your mother or your father. I want you to have church right where you are. So at the end of this service, I'm going to lead you into partaking in the communion, so that you and your family, corporately there as a church, more than one person, right? You're having church right there in your couch, listening to Pastor Henry. And there will be a corporate anointing right there in the comfort of your home, so that you can be blessed with the corporate anointing as we partake in the communion together, as you listen to this word, as if you are here presently with us. And I don't want you to miss on the corporate blessings and be blessed as you have a church right there in your sofa, right there in your bedroom, wherever you are. Amen? Because God loves you. Yeah. And just know that this is temporary. The time will come when we all, the full members of the church, can come together and fellowship again. So this is just a temporary thing. Amen? Hallelujah. So, I want to let you know, first of all, to all my audience who might be listening to this message, how much you want to be blessed is up to you. You listen 30-fold, you'll get 30-fold harvest. You listen 60-fold, that means 40% of the time your mind is elsewhere. You're not really paying attention to what Pastor Henry is preaching, then you'll get 60-fold harvest. But if you are serious about the word and you say, I want it all. I want the whole blessing. You know, I don't know about the Jones. Okay, the Jones might be busy tuning in to the latest news, the latest headlines. But I'm not tuning in to what the Lord wants to say through even an earthen vessel, Pastor Henry, 100-fold. And beloved of God, you get 100-fold harvest. Because this is the word of Jesus. To the measure that you use, the same measure will be used unto you. To those who have a listening heart, what you have, more will be added unto you. So if you are rich, God wants to make you even richer. Amen. If you are healthy, God wants to make you stronger. But to those who don't have a listening heart, even what they have will be taken away from them. So those who don't have a listening heart, even what they have right now will be taken away. Not by God, will be stolen by the devil. Because the devil does not want you to hear and focus on the word of God today. Romans 4:21, Abraham being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. So, what is the promise that God has put in your life? Have you forgotten the promises of God in your life? I want you to reflect on that promise that God has given into your life. Because different people, God has given different promises in your life. So throughout this week, think about what is the promises that God has put in your heart. For Abraham, the promise that God has put in his heart was that he's going to have a son. Humanly speaking, it's impossible for Abraham to have a child. But God is faithful to his promise. And so what this is saying is, Abraham being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. So God is not limited by the limitations of Sarah cannot bear a child anymore. So, you know, physiologically, I don't want you to limit yourself by your age. Do not limit yourself by your age. Well, Pastor, you know, I wish that I hear your message when I was younger. Well, remember, Sarah already passed her childbearing age. According to the doctors and medical professionals, according to the internet, it's impossible for her to give birth to a child. But Abraham believed that God was able to perform the miracle, even if it's against human logic. All right? So that is the context here of Romans 4:21. Romans 4:22 says, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Mm-hmm. So when you hold fast to the promises of God in your life, and you are fully persuaded that God is able to fulfill whatever that promise that God has given you maybe many years ago that you maybe had forgotten because you feel like, there's no way it's going to happen. There's no way it's going to happen. But if you, like Abraham, fully persuade your heart that God is able to perform what he had promised. Like for me as a pastor, you know, I've been a pastor pretty much since 2009. Our church, Life-Giving Church International, was established in 2009. Pastor Kent was the one who started the church back in January of 2009. And I was the associate pastor back then. So I've been a pastor, although just an associate pastor back then in 2009, until today. So it's been what? 11 years? Yeah, about 11 years, right? And, you know, one of my desire is to not necessarily to have a mega church Like there are thousands and thousands of people in a church. If that happens, that's great. If it doesn't happen, hey, that's really fine as well. But I really want to see, you know, where the church that I pastor begin to see more and more people coming to the point where people will not feel awkward when they come to church. Wow, this church, like, we got 60 seats, only 10 seats are filled. That means, you know, 50 seats are all empty. And then those that are supposed to be a part of our church, they feel really, really uncomfortable because they feel like, wow, I guess nobody's coming to this church. I'm in the wrong church here. And then they're not going to the church where God wants them to be. So my desire is for people who are called to be a part of Life-Giving Church International. And not everyone is called to be a part of Life-Giving Church International, right? So this is one of the promises that I believe God has put in my heart, is to see, you know, the seats to be mostly filled. Mm-hmm. So there'll be more, you know, people in the church than the empty seats in the church. That's the promise that I believe that God has put in my heart, right? That I believe God is able to perform.
More than eight.
And so therefore, right, even though it's against human logic, right, it's against human logic, but, you know, how can it be any different? It's been 11 years or since I took over as the pastor of the church in 2017, right? It's been what? 3 years. It's been 3 years and you don't see, right, even 50 people in your church. It's impossible. It's been 3 years. Nothing seems to be happening. What makes you feel, Pastor Henry, it will be any different for you? Well, I'm fully persuaded, like Abraham, that God is able to fulfill the promise that God has put in my heart, that I believe there'll be more people in my church than there are the empty seats. Amen. That is the promise that God has already given me, even back in 2010. And it's been what? 10 years. I haven't seen nothing. Well, guess what? Abraham hadn't seen nothing yet either. For years after years after years after years. Amen. You know, it was like going from hopelessness to even more hopelessness, because biologically speaking, man, it's getting more and more impossible. But God says, if you fully persuade your heart like Abraham did, and you believe that God is faithful and He is able to perform what He had promised, because you know that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, like Abraham believed that he is the righteousness of God in Christ. Then look at verse 22 here. Therefore, the Bible says, it was imputed to Abraham for righteousness. So when you continue to hold fast to the promises of God in your life, you don't give up in spite of what other people might say, in spite of what the circumstances that's going on right now might say, you keep on holding fast to the promise of God, being fully persuaded in your heart that God is able and He loves you and He's faithful to perform what He had promised. As what He had done to Abraham, He can also do for you, even though it might be against human logic. God says, it will be imputed to you, it will be accounted to you for righteousness, God says. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, let's keep on reading here, verse 23. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. In other words, look, God loves Abraham, yes, but it's not just for Abraham. It's for you also. So it said, it was not written for Abraham's sake alone, okay, that it was imputed to him, that righteousness was imputed to Abraham. Okay, verse 24. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe, if we trust on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. So, happy Resurrection Sunday. So, if you trust or if you believe on your loving Heavenly Father, who raised up your beloved Lord and Savior, Jesus, from the dead. Okay? You will be receiving the righteousness that comes by faith, like Abraham did, and that righteousness will be accounted, will be credited to your account, will be imputed to your account. Now keep on looking here on verse 25 here. It says, Jesus was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Again, happy Resurrection Sunday. So I'm touching on the resurrection revelation here. The Bible says, Jesus was delivered for our sins and He was raised again for our justification. That means Jesus died at the cross for your sins. So if you don't have sin in your life, Jesus did not have to die at the cross. Okay? So today, beloved of God, whenever you fall into sin, that's not the time to shun away from God by no longer listening to His Word, whether online or in person by coming to church. When you fall into sin, remember, it is for this very reason that Jesus was delivered. He said, Jesus was delivered up because of our sins. So there's now no condemnation for you as long as you don't run away from God, but you keep on running to the arm of His love, to the arm of His forgiveness, because God can love you on a righteous foundation today because He already paid for all your sins. So I don't care what sins that you have done in the past. I don't care how bad your sins in the future might be. As long as you keep on running to Jesus Christ, that righteousness, that same righteousness that was imputed to Abraham, will be credited still unto your account as long as you keep on believing. You don't give up. You keep on coming to church, in other words. You keep on believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And look at the second part here in verse 25, Romans 4:25. It says, Jesus was raised because of our justification. In other words, the reason why Jesus was raised is because of our being declared righteous. In other words, if you are not righteous in the eyes of God today, simply by faith in Jesus Christ, Jesus could not be raised from the dead. That is what the Word is saying. Jesus was raised because of your justification, beloved of God. In other words, you have to be in agreement with the Word of God. How can the two walk together unless they are in agreement? The devil will condemn you and say, oh no, you're not righteous. Look at your thought. Look at your behavior. You call yourself a Christian. How can you have such a filthy thought? Whatever it is, right? So the devil will condemn you. And sometimes your conscience, your own heart may condemn you whenever you're not listening again and again to the word of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But God says, be in agreement with me. It is impossible for you to be seen before God as unrighteous because Jesus now is alive. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Jesus is now sitting at the right hand of God to be your justification, to be your righteousness. So it is impossible that you are not righteous in the eyes of God today. Even in the middle of your wrong thoughts, God says, I cannot see you anything but righteous. Amen. Because Jesus has been raised from the dead. He is the divine receipt that you are still righteous in the eyes of God. Just like when you go to the store, when you go to the grocery, you buy your grocery, you will get a receipt. Okay, how many items did you purchase? Okay, alright. Okay, that's fine. You've already paid for all these groceries, right? You show them the receipt, right? Well, happy Resurrection Sunday. When the devil condemns you, or your own evil conscience condemns you in your heart, and say, oh no, you dirty, rotten sinner, Maybe you will not hear that out loud, but sometimes you feel like a dirty, rotten sinner, especially when things are not working right, right? What's the expression? The rooster is coming back to roost, that kind of stuff. No, the rooster got fried at the cross.
Amen.
The fire of God's judgment fell on Jesus at the cross.
Amen.
So there ain't no be no rooster that's coming back to roost in your life, beloved of God. Amen. Hallelujah.
Woo.
Hallelujah. So don't listen to the voice of the enemy. Don't listen to the voice of accusations, because in the eyes of God, the Bible says Jesus was raised because of your being declared righteous. The fact that Jesus is alive and well today, He was raised on the third day, sitting at the right hand of your loving Heavenly Father, is your divine receipt. Like when you, again, you purchase that grocery, you show them the receipt, right? You know, show the devil your receipt. Look, my Savior lives. Jesus lives. Go bother somebody else. Hallelujah. Go bother somebody else who don't have this revelation, right? Our Redeemer lives. Our Redeemer lives. Our Redeemer lives. Our Redeemer lives. So sing that song in your heart, beloved of God, because Jesus, who is raised to life for your justification today, is your divine receipt. Without any shadow of doubt,
that's right,
that God sees you clean, God sees you righteous, and because Jesus will never die again, that means you are always clean, you are always righteous in the eyes of God. How secure is your salvation? Wow, it's guaranteed by the fact that your beloved Lord and Savior is alive and well today.
Amen.
Amen. So, beloved of God, happy Resurrection Sunday 2020. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. Because it's part 13. So, Ephesians 1 verse 13 from Christ Our Shalom series that we're doing. So, we're marching forward here with part 13 of Christ Our Shalom. This is Ephesians 1:13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. One more time. In whom ye also trusted. So, in Jesus, you also trusted, or you believe. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel. You must to be hearing first the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You were sealed the moment that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You were sealed like if you were a letter. God put you into an envelope, and then that envelope is protected, is sealed. Nobody can invade your privacy. Nobody can invade your life, because you are sealed in this supernatural envelope, and then it's sealed with the Holy Spirit. Protected from all viruses, protected from all cancers, protected from all forms of heart diseases, protected from all forms of Alzheimer's, because the Bible says you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise the moment that you hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So that means there's got to be a preacher. Because how can you hear unless there is a preacher, the Bible says, right? So as you're hearing the preaching of the word, like what you're doing right now, right? You hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Beloved of God, your life is sealed, protected in the secret place of the Most High. And when you study the word here, to be sealed, it means to stamp for security or preservation. Literally, you are preserved. You are protected from all harmful viruses, from all harmful bacteria. The Bible says, from the moment you hear this gospel truth, you were protected.
Yes.
You were sealed. For security, it says, or preservation. Literally, it says literally or figuratively. So literally, you are preserved, sealed, be kept secret. Remember Psalm 91? Mm-hmm. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall rest or abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, how do you reckon that God keep you sealed in this secret place? From the moment you hear the preaching of the gospel of your salvation and you believe in Jesus Christ, that He died for your sins and He was raised for your justification on the third day. From the moment you believe that, you were sealed. You were sealed. You were put in Christ, if you will. So that secret place in the Most High is none other than being in Christ.
Yes.
There is no other place more secure than being sealed in Christ. The moment you believe in Jesus Christ, you are sealed, the Bible says, with that Holy Spirit of promise. Because from the moment you believe, you were put in Christ. That secret place is in Christ. So, beloved of God, I just want to encourage you. You are eligible for Psalm 91 protection just simply because you are a believer. Just because you are in Christ. The moment you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you were sealed. You were put in Christ. Again, like a letter being put inside an envelope. And then it's sealed permanently, irreversibly. No one can break that seal unless you're greater than God. The devil cannot break that seal. And listen to this. Neither can you break that seal. Because no one is greater than the Holy Spirit. You are sealed. You are forever secure from the moment you make that decision to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So without any delay right now, beloved of God, I speak to my countless audience who might be listening to this word right now. And you say, what is the Psalm 91 protection, Pastor Henry? Boy, you are ignorant if you don't know Psalm 91 protection. That is the Psalm that all believers all over the world are claiming during this difficult, pestilent time in this world is Psalm 91. Okay? And so, for those of you who are kind of new, in fact, you're not a believer yet, I want to let you know, Psalm 91 is a psalm of protection for those who are in Christ Jesus. That means, if you're still on the brink, you have not given your life unto the Lord Jesus Christ, whoever you are, now is the day of your salvation. Now is the day of your deliverance. Do not harden your heart. You're listening to what Jesus is preaching to you right now, not by accidents. You're listening because God called you for such a time as this. I'm making this appeal. Be reconciled to God. For He made Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Pray this simple prayer with me if that's you, if you have never received Jesus Christ into your life. Lord Jesus, I need You in my life. I believe You died for all my sins, and I believe You rose again on the third day. Lord, come into my life. I receive You as my Lord and Savior from this day forward. In Jesus' name, Your name I ask and pray. Amen. Now, beloved of God, if that's you, if you prayed that simple prayer, you are born again. You have been sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, and you are now already in Christ, and you are in the full protection of Psalm 91. And I'm going to read the entire Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Oh, how we need messages today at this time that is against fear. Because what is more deadly than the virus itself is fear. False evidence appearing real, right? So it is such a timely word for such a time as this to preach against fear. Jeremiah 17:8, King James Version Bible. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. Did you see that? It does not say it shall not fear when heat cometh, but it says it shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Okay, now, the reason why I think it's inspired by the Holy Spirit here to use the word see, because it is a wonderful contrast with verse 6. Look at verse 6 of Jeremiah 17. This is contrasting between the person who put their confidence in the flesh and the person who put their confidence in the Lord. So in verse 6 it says, For he shall be like the heath in the desert, those who put their trust in the flesh, and shall not see when good cometh. The word see. So, people who put their confidence in themselves instead of in the Lord, or in other people instead of in the Lord, it says, they shall not see when good cometh. In other words, good is happening all around them. But they shall not see it, as in they shall not experience it. Oh, what a wretched life that is. Because even good is happening all around them, but they shall not see it. Now, contrast that with verse 8. The person who trusts in the Lord, they shall not see when heat cometh. So the heat is there. But it says, they shall not see it. Now, why did I say the NIV is correct also to be true to the original manuscript, to say they shall not fear? Because, hey, if you never even see the heat, how can you even fear it? Did you see why this keep me awake? It's like, wow, this is amazing. You know, because the idea of I'm not afraid of the heat, it can also mean that I can see it with my eyes, but I'm not afraid. Oh Lord, I'm not afraid. I'm sure, Lord, everything's going to be fine. But they're still seeing it.
Right.
You can't help but maybe 50% be living in fear, 50% in faith. And then we wonder why you have 50% results. God wants you to not even see the heat. Why? Because you are so busy seeing the one who is now raised from the dead, who is your righteousness today, sitting at the right hand of God. In other words, you are too busy to be seeing the heat because you are so occupied with Jesus Christ. Your eyes are so busy seeing, trusting, in the Lord Jesus, that you become like that tree planted by the streams of living water, beloved of God, where, again, you shall not see when heat cometh. Jeremiah 17 verse 8 from King James Version Bible. You shall not see when heat cometh. You shall not see when heat cometh. Wow. Now, beloved of God, there's a lot of strong need here. Your life will be so full of peace. God never promised in this life that there will be no tribulation. In fact, Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. But you need to trust me. You need to believe in me so that you can be like this tree that is practically unaffected by evil, that is practically does not experience evil, does not even see any evil. Not because there is no evil. Evil is all over in this world. But they don't even see it. They don't even experience it. Because they put their trust in the Lord. And beloved of God, I just want to encourage you, to my countless people, it is not by accident that you're hearing this word. You need this word. And I'm sharing this fresh revelation that I'm going to meditate on this myself to reap the benefits for myself and my family. And I want you to do the same for your own family. This is part of the promise that God wants you to have because you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Look at what happens when you attain this revelation where you shall not see when heat cometh. When you have the revelation of you shall not see when heat cometh, this is the promise of God from Jeremiah 17:8, the NIV Bible. Its leaves are always green. Wow, meditate on that. That's a mouthful, beloved of God. That's the promise of God if you have this revelation more and more. In other words, sowing and reaping is not just in the area of finance. The Bible says, those who sow money sparingly will reap sparingly. Those who sow abundantly will reap abundantly. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, there is also principle of sowing and reaping in terms of hearing the Word of God. If you sow your hearing heart to the Word of God attentively, and you meditate on the Word, and it becomes a revelation 30-fold, you will reap 30-fold blessings. And if you sow 60-fold, you will reap 60-fold harvest. And if you are really, really serious with the Word of God, and you are saying, Pastor, I want 100-fold harvest, then, beloved of God, listen to the word 100-fold here. God's promise, and you are to be fully persuaded on this, is that it says, if you become like this tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream, and you do not see when heat comes, you become like a tree where its leaves are always green. This is the exact word of the written word of God here in the NIV, beautifully translated. Its leaves are always green. Do you know, God used pictures. Leaves that are always green is talking about your divine health and even your divine youthfulness. Because green, the idea of green is young, is it not? And the idea of a leaf that is always green, that means it's a leaf that does not become sickly and it becomes yellowing and then it withers and then it dies. The idea of losing your health. So the promise of God here where it says, your leaves will always green, God is saying, if you can swallow this truth, God wants you to enjoy divine health 24/7 and also be receiving the renewal of your youth like the eagles every day as you continue to put your faith and your trust in the one who raised our Lord Jesus from the dead. Amen. Hallelujah. And look at the next line here in Jeremiah 17, verse 8. Not only your leaves are always green, it says, it has no worries in a year of drought. It has no worries in a year of drought. God says, as you have the revelation, you shall not see when heat cometh. You will have no worries in a year of drought. In other words, I believe the Lord will provide you financially. The Lord will provide you even when the stock market is not doing very well. God will bless your jobs. God will bless your career. God will bless your paychecks so that they will be steady. All right? As you have the revelation, you shall not see when heat cometh. Meditate on that. It has no worries in a year of drought. And finally, beloved of God, never fails to bear fruit. The fruit of love, the fruit of joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and then also temperance. You're not easily irritated. All of that comes out not out of gritted teeth. You're putting your confidence in the flesh with your own strength. But you will never fail to bear fruit as you have the revelation once again that you shall not see when heat cometh. Why? Because you trust, you believe, and you keep on believing. You keep on believing. Well, things are not working perfectly yet, Pastor. You keep on trusting. You keep on trusting. Well, Pastor, this thing is still going on. This virus thing is still going on. You keep on believing. You keep on believing. You keep on hearing and hearing and trusting and seeing Jesus as your righteousness. Again, continue to believe in your loving Heavenly Father who raised our beloved brother and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, who was delivered for our sins and was raised to life for our being declared righteous. Amen. Hallelujah. As I promised before, I want those who are listening to this message right now with your own family, you're having church right now in your bedroom or in your couch with your own family members listening to the word of Christ being preached unto you right now. Take your communion element. Now take the bread. Discern the Lord's body. This is for your body. If you are sick, be healed in Jesus' name. Now take the cup. This is the blood of Jesus that was shed for you. You are forgiven of all your sins, past, present, and future. You're not guilty anymore. I love you, says the Lord. Mercy is yours. Now let's take the blood of Jesus for the remission of sins. I'm going to speak blessing over you. The Lord makes His face shine on you. The Lord bless your going out and your coming in throughout these next 7 days. Whenever you go to grocery, you are protected from all harmful viruses. Whenever you go out, the angels of God has gone before you to protect you so that you will not be harmed. You are under the full protection of Psalm 91 because you are already in Christ Jesus, because you believe Jesus died for your sins and He rose again on the third day. You are blessed, greatly blessed. You are favored, highly favored, and you are loved, deeply loved. In Jesus' name, Amen.